Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge. Hey there, it's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings, and it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to donethatpodcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free, and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together. Hi, everybody. This is the Been There, Done That podcast, and I'm your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge. I am here with my wonderful friend. Go ahead, friend, and introduce yourself.
Absolutely. My name is Elisa Lindstrom. I am an ex-therapist turned declutter coach. And what that means is I took everything that I learned about decluttering and everything that I learned about being a therapist. And I worked with mostly women and children, but a lot of very trauma-centered work. And grief is part of that too. Have taken that and my own personal work that I've done since my own divorce and combined all of that and created this coaching, where I help people work through when it seems difficult and everyone around them seems to have the decluttering, keeping the house tidy thing down. And it seems to be easier for everyone else, but it's harder, you know, for my client, and it was harder for me. And so that's why I went down this journey and behold, found this coaching that I absolutely adore.
The wonderful thing about this topic to me is that just like grief in itself, that we have the ability to grieve, but then there's other emotions that tend to kind of click into place in different places within that grief stratosphere. One of those being guilt, that we feel this guilt or this overwhelming responsibility to keep something that belonged to someone before us. Talk to us about the overwhelm that you felt, but also that your clients feel in this particular moment.
Right. So when they're trying to break through that wall, let's start off with, I don't see grief as one size. I don't see decluttering as one size fits all. I don't see trauma as one size fits all. I don't see grief as one size fits all. And so each person goes through it differently. And I think that the most important thing when you have gotten to the point where you're like, it's time to let go of some of this, or I'm ready to start looking at this stuff. I'm ready to look at it and see if I want to keep it or not. Because you can always keep it. When you're decluttering, it doesn't mean you're getting rid of everything. And I think that that's a big fear that a lot of my clients had. And in fact, one of my clients, So one of my clients didn't say this to me, but said this to someone else, that it feels like when you're decluttering, the person who passed away, their stuff, you're losing them all over again. And I want to be really, really clear that when you start to look at the stuff, there is absolutely space for you to still hold on to it. It's just a matter of deciding what is the most meaningful to hold on to. Because if you're holding on to all of it, it's not meaningful. You're holding on to something else. You're not holding on to the memory of the person. You might be holding on to an idea of something, or something like, it might be a should, like, I should still hold on to this. Otherwise, I'm not like a good spouse or a good parent, right? I know you talk a lot about loss of child. So a good, you know, like, oh, I'm not a good, I clearly am not honoring their memory if I'm not holding on to everything. And I understand where that's coming from. And it's a lot of shoulds that we give ourselves. But the truth, if you are struggling with this because you feel like you are letting go of them again, you're going to have to grieve them all over. It's that whole thing, or like you are being a bad, whatever it is, parent, spouse, daughter, son, child, whatever, and our niece, nephew, aunt, uncle, whatever it is that you are going through of your family member or friend. What you could do if you are really struggling with this is you can go out and buy a beautiful box that makes you think of that person, right? Like a container. It could be a trunk. It could be a small Michael's Craft. I don't know if they still have those photo boxes. I love those photo boxes because they're gorgeous, that you can find really pretty ones, but you can get a bigger one. You don't have to get a little photo one. And go into that room or go into that space or go through some of those things and find the things that have the most meaning to you. Find the things that have the most meaning to you. Find the things that represent that person the most for you. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. People stop asking how you're doing after a certain amount of time with grief. And it's just baloney. I mean, there's a better word for it, but I'm going to say baloney just to make this G-rated. But it's baloney, right? It's just like, it can be 20 years and you're still grieving. Heck, every once in a while, I think of my Nana, and that was, oh God, that was 20 years ago that she passed. But I'll think of her because she was so much a part of my life growing up. And I still have stuff of hers, and I still use stuff in her, of hers from her kitchen, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
What I love about what you said is that you give permission to say, pick out the things that are meaningful to you, that you find a memory from, not what the person that's gone created a memory from, but what you create a memory from, what you remember. And that to me is the most important piece of this. What I love to talk about in these episodes and in this podcast and in my coaching experience is that because you are moving through, you are not forgetting that person. What you are doing is you are allowing yourself to remember and live at the same time. And absolutely, to me, what you do is such a physical manifestation of that same thing, that we tend to get lost in, well, I can't move. I have all of my grandmother's dishes. I don't want to take any chances that those things will break. That's not the reason that you don't want to move, but you're holding on to, yes, you're using it as this excuse. Talk to me a little bit about how you see regret in this process. What do you do when it comes to those kinds of moments where there's maybe a regret piece in the mix of all the emotions?
The thing is, and so if your listener is the person who's listening right now is feeling like, why did I hold on to all of this stuff? The thing is the best thing to think about is we do what we can with what we have. And if you are in the middle of, maybe you have a career that's very busy, and, or maybe you're handling taking care of a parent who is ill, or parents who are ill, maybe you are in the middle of a divorce, maybe you are in the middle of, raising children. Maybe a child passed away. Maybe you're in the middle. Maybe you had 5 years of fertility treatments. Maybe you spent 10 years trying to adopt a child. Maybe like life keeps you from doing things like paying attention to how much stuff you're accumulating. And that's okay. Like, we can't look at it and blame ourselves. And I think that something that's going on in society, and I'm not anti-minimalist, I'm minimalist adjacent, like I like to say. And I think the minimalist community and the growth of it is great and amazing. And there's so many good things you can learn from it. But the backside to it is that so many people see it, this whole idea of getting rid of everything. And they're taking it on themselves, like, I should have done this the whole time. And especially if you are someone who's a caretaker, someone who's taught to constantly put things on yourself, like it's all your responsibility, it's easy to be like, oh, it's my fault. But it's not your fault. You were busy doing all these other things, taking care of all these other things, right? So it's okay.
I received quite a bit of toys from when my husband was a child. And we are not young parents, but they kept everything and gave it all to us. And then we had to decide, you know, what do we want? What is meaningful? Those are really important questions to ask. So there's regret in there, but there's also a little bit of guilt and a little bit of that obligation kind of feeling. But I love the idea that we can decide that at any time.
Hey there, it's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings, and it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to donethatpodcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free, and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together.
What really lights you up when it comes to working with a client that's brand new, a brand new person? Let's just pretend her name is Angela. And she comes to you and says, I have all this stuff and I would like, I'm about to move and I would like to work with you. What are your favorite things to do with clients?
I don't know how woo-woo you are, but I used to be really into horoscopes and I am a Virgo. So if you know anything about Virgos, you know, that we're very into neat and tidy. And the funny thing is I thought that that's what I would love is that, okay, now everything's going to look so nice and pretty and blah, blah, blah. And when I started doing this work, I really thought that's what it was going to be. But what I really love, the most meaningful part of it is when we're done. And especially if it's someone who's gone through grief or trauma, and may or may not feel like they've ever lived in a place that was safe, or the holding on to stuff was a way of protecting themselves because of trauma or what have you. And then we go through a room and it's clean. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's just become the space that represents who they are. And what I do is I have them go into that room without me. And just sit there and breathe and just feel what the space, their space is without me, because this isn't about me. This is about them in feeling so good in their own space and feeling like all of this weight is gone and this is a safe space for them. It really draws into the whole therapy part of my work. And I just, that is the most important part to me, is this sort of like, at the end, just feeling like, wow, this represents me. This is who I am. This is important to me. This represents my life and all the things that I love.
I so resonate with what you're saying with neat and tidy, that it has to be perfect somehow for some unknown judge that is coming at it from some other place. That
except the thing is, the thing with the neat and tidy thing, I think it's reinforced so strongly in our culture. You know, you can't go to Target. I'm just going to say Target. I love Target. But you can't go to Target without seeing all of these cute bins or like the contain. Oh, my God, the container store. Like, what a place. And all of these bins and labels. And oh, my gosh, I can organize this. You go in there not knowing what you're going to organize. And then suddenly you've decided you're going to reorganize your whole pantry. Right. And the thing is you don't need those things. We in my house, I do feel like to keep things from going stale, we do put things in jars, but we go to the hardware store and get those huge mason jars and put cereal in there. And that works just fine. And you don't need to have a label because you can see it's the Cheerios, right? It's like, it puts a lot of pressure on us to do this perfect thing. And it's just, if we're so busy taking care of all these things, taking care of ourselves, taking care of our families, taking care of our friends, taking care of our jobs, if we have them, you know, and taking care of our pets. And like, why are we spending all this energy and time focusing on getting, printing off these labels and going to the container store or going to Target or Walmart or wherever and getting like these containers to put things in, like something's going on there.
If it's keeping you from doing anything. Well, I don't have all the bins, so I'm not going to touch this stuff until I have a way to organize it. And you're so right that there's that you just use what you have. Most likely.
Absolutely.
You have something to put that in. To your perfect point, there's a reason why you're using that as your excuse. And that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. We can get wrapped up in what we think someone else's opinion of that thing is, when all that really matters is our opinion of it, what we're doing with it, and what it means to us.
Yeah,
that I think it's so incredibly important.
And I think just to touch on a few things, you know, you take out the silver and you have to polish it if it's a special occasion, and it's so high maintenance. And the way things were back then versus now, it's just not part of our thing is to polish all the darn silverware, right?
Before I put it in my mouth with food on it, right?
Right. Or like hand, like my Nana had dishes that we couldn't put in the dishwasher because it had like the gold around. So you had to hand wash. So every Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, we were hand wash, like
with each 5-piece place setting per 10 to 12 people around the big table. And the tablecloth not only has to be dry cleaned, but needs to be pressed before we use it. And the napkins. It's not the same. And that is, I think, my favorite filter that you have brought up, is that I want to be able to look at something and say, but is that practical for what I do, for what my life looks like? And I don't get out just fancy. I don't have fancy dishes. I don't have dishes that we only bring out 2 times a year. Now, I do have Christmas dishes, Elisa. But only because
I'm not going to judge. You have your Christmas.
I
you
love enjoy
them. If you take them out every Christmas and they bring you, and I don't want to be all Marie Kondo here, but they bring you joy.
Yeah.
Then why not? Why?
I keep them out until my birthday. See, I'm a Pisces, so I keep them out from Thanksgiving to my birthday. Like that's the way this goes.
Why not? And this was another part to what I was going to say about the whole silverware and fancy plates and everything like that. I mean, your podcast is about grief. So let's just be a little honest here. Life is short. Why are we using, like, if we, if listen, if we have nice things in our home, but we have them in boxes in the attic or in the garage or in the basement or in the shed, why are we not using them every day? Why are we using the thing that the plate? Why aren't we enjoying the finer things, right? The things that have been passed down from generation to generation that we're supposed to continue passing down. And instead we've decided that using paper plates is better or using whatever is better than very well-made plates and silverware and everything from 50, 100 years ago, right? Maybe it means that we start putting them in the dishwasher and using them every day and handing them to another family that might need them, right?
It makes so much sense because you're not only not forgetting by using them, you're honestly, you can think of them 17 times a day by getting a spoon out of the drawer or taking the plate out or, oh, there's the mug that has the little blip in the handle, but that was her favorite. Whatever that is, it's so important that you don't forget. We would never, I think I speak for both of us when I say this, that we would never ask a client to say, you need to forget all about that. You need to throw that in the trash and just forget that never happened to you. Especially if it was powerful, even trauma. We don't say forget. We say, oh, no. Let's function through it, right?
We have to walk through it. You have to.
Yeah, we have.
I always do this because I'm always encouraging people to hold on to everything. So now I'm going to say,
easy.
You might have all of the silverware and dishes from your great aunt Dee, but you might not like them. And maybe that's why it's in the closet. And you know what? It's okay to let it go.
Absolutely. So real. So real. Now I want to go clean something out. I want to go like find something to work through now that I got my emotional juices flowing. Tell us how we can work with you.
Mm-hmm.
How can we find you and how can we work with you and help us with our stuff?
So I have a website, which is the easiest way to find me. It's dearlovesjustbreathe.com. Loves with an S, so it's plural. And on there, you can click on the top. There is a banner and it gives, if you wanted to get my three simple things that I teach all of my clients just to get started. I really just want to get started and do something. I send out a weekly email. Then I also have online programs because sort through their stuff and in a very authentic way, just like the way you and I are talking of like really connecting with who you are. Right.
What would you leave us with as a parting shot? What do you say is something that somebody can apply right now in their situation, in whatever transition that they're in?
So if you are ready to start looking at your stuff, right? Just start looking at it. I'm not saying go through, get rid of everything and live in a yurt. I'm just saying, you know, but if you want to do that.
Not judging.
I'm not judging. I'm totally down with it. If that's like, that's cool. That's cool. Seriously. I'm ready to take a step forward. And one step forward, it doesn't need to be intense and insane and out of control. I would suggest picking one thing, like maybe a closet. Don't take everything out. If you're doing this on your own, I would not say take everything out of the closet. I would say take, you know, set a timer for 15 minutes. And look at one shelf on that closet or one box in that closet. And don't just one, do not take anything else out. Do not do anything else. Sort through that box or sort through that shelf. And then after 15 minutes, put it back in, whatever it is that you haven't sorted, put it back in the closet and then come back the next day. And that is okay. Like you are not in a race. Give yourself time and space, because some of it's going to be easy, but some of it is you're not going to know what to do with, and that's okay.
I love that. I love the timer specifically, because we can overwhelm each other and ourselves so easily in those moments, especially when there's emotion involved. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I look forward to continuing to know you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So glad to be here.